Amen. Sure glad to see all of you. We're having a wonderful camp meeting, aren't we? My, my, my. I asked Brother Horton if I could ask some folks from Florida to sing, and he said whatever I want to do. And that's the reason I asked him, that's what I want to do. So, one black fella said, that's not precisely, but that's exactly what I want to do. So, come on, folks, and sing. Brother and Sister Ard came up here, and they brought a lady with them. And, anyway. I'm glad we are, aren't you? I want to read today from several places. I'm not going to ask you to try to turn to all of them because it might be turning quite a bit. And I want you to be prayerful, please. I'm going to read from Second Corinthians 5:10. First, I'm going to read that. I'm glad you got to come today. Glad to see more folks coming in from Oklahoma and various places. And the meeting's going good. I was really glad for last night. Hallelujah. I'm glad God is still moving, aren't you? In 2 Corinthians 5:9-10, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Notice that. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Seems like what the psalm said, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, be acceptable, O God, in thy sight. Then it says in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. I read someplace, I don't know how many years ago, where some fella stole something in his circus tent. He reached through the canvas in the opening there and got it, and they got him. And he pled his case on the basis, foolishly done, but anybody steals is foolish, and he said, my body didn't do it. My body was out here. Just my hand is all that was in there. And the judge said, well, I'll send your hand to jail. If you want to go along, it'll be all right. Some people say your body sins, but your soul doesn't. You're responsible for your body, soul. You're going to be responsible. The apostle said that everyone may receive the things done in his body. According to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And then he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I'm glad he had an insight in that by the grace of God. God is very fair. Very fair. Do you hear, please? God is very fair. He's given us time. I'm glad we took advantage of time.
Yes, sir.
Our time. This is our day. I like history. I like prophecy. I'm not very good at it, but I like it. And but this is our day now. It's our time.
Yes, it is.
As I've said before, if you don't think it makes any difference how you live this life, just wait till you start the next one.
Amen.
And you will. I told somebody the other day, I said, because you know Armstrong went to believing in hell? And they said he did. I said, yeah, he believes in it.
Yeah.
He's there.
Yeah.
He really believes in it. He'd make a holiness preacher if he'd come back, but he ain't coming back. Amen. God is fair. He gives you time, opportunity. In Proverbs 24:12, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? He's asking questions. He said, if you say, behold, we didn't know, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? Question. And he that keepeth thy soul, doth he not he know it? Question. And shall he not render to every man according to his works? Did you hear that? Shall he not render to every man according to his works? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The apostle said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Realizing that, people ought to be thankful. And they ought to be appreciative of people that warn them in time. They ought to be very thankful and appreciative for that. My God, I'm glad. I'm sure glad we had a chance, aren't you? God was so good, so good, so wonderfully good to us, to let us be able to go to church and live in America, where we can go to church without fear. Thank God for it. Then in Romans 2, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing. Did you hear that? You're inexcusable, he says. O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest thus doest the same thing. For we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. I'm trying to get on a subject here today that to me is very serious. Very serious. I always want to be serious about things. I like to laugh. And it's all right. I like to smile and laugh and have some joy. And I think Christians are 100 times more joyful than sinners are. I really do. If you don't believe it, look at some of them. Amen. But life is very short, and the judgment is absolutely sure,
yes, sir.
And we need to see that. You're just passing through here one time. Peter said, 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then he says, seeing then, do you see? Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. And then, what manner of persons ought we ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Charles Wesley said long time ago, thou judge of quick and dead, before whose bar severe with holy joy or guilty dread, we soon shall all appear. Our cautioned souls prepare for that tremendous day, and fill us now with watchful care, and stir us up to pray. Oh God, we're passing away. We're passing away. We're passing away to that great, great judgment day. How careful then ought I to live with such religious fear, whose such a strict account must give of my behavior here. We're passing away. We're passing away to the great judgment day. Oh yes, dear God, please prepare us, please, for that day when the moon is old, the stars are cold, and the books of the judgment day unfold. My Lord, great God from heaven, let me tell you something. A wise man said in Ecclesiastes 8 and 11, because sentence, which means on account of a sentence against the evil work not being executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. It seems that that's the way it is, too. Really, in one strict sense of the word, the judgment of man will not necessarily have to be decided at the day of judgment. It seems that it's already decided a whole lot. And man, also in a great strict sense of the word, condemns himself. Remember I read to you right there in Romans 2? Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, and he's laying this on them. A lot of these people are Jewish people, and they know it's to Rome, but they know. And he says, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same thing. Don't be looking around so much. Don't be worrying so much about what's going on. You got to be cautious, I understand that. But don't be worrying all the time about what other people are doing. Because, you know, it's a real job to take care of yourself. It's really a chore to do that. Sometimes people say, I don't know, there's many deep things in the Bible that you can't understand it all. That may be so. Old Mark Twain, who was an agnostic, Sam Clemens, that it's not the things I can't understand in the Bible that bothers me. It's the things I can understand what tears me up. You just look into it, you can find out how to live. Amen. We are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. Then in Revelation 20, and I want to read that to you before I go any further. Revelation 20, and about just hang on a minute here, get this turned over to it. About verse 11 and 12, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to them, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And then turn with me, please, to the book of Daniel, chapter 7 and verse 10, if you wish. And I beheld, in verse 9, till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning. A fiery stream issued from forth, came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set, and the books were opened. It's coming up. Do you hear me? I said it's coming up. Praise God. I'm glad that the Lord let us know ahead of time that we're going to have to face a judgment someday. And he fixed it up so we can be ready for it. Amen. Now, in this world, we have today, not, like I said, I'm not sarcastic. I told you that yesterday. I'm not sarcastic. I don't think everybody's backslid. I believe there's a lot of people living for God. But let me tell you something. Hell is going to be bad. I mean, it's going to be bad. And what is so serious is there are some people that go to church that are going to go to hell. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, they are. They're going to go to hell. And the reason they're going to go to hell, matter of fact, I used to have an old neighbor. He was a nice fella. He finally got saved, 76 years old. Finally got saved. And he told me one time, he called me Raph. And he said, Raph, somebody was saying that there ain't going to be nobody saved after the rapture. Now, I'm not here to decide whether there will or won't on that. That's not what I'm trying to convey to you. He said, some of them say there's not going to be nobody saved after the rapture. He said, Raph, they said there won't be no preachers to preach to them, so they can't get saved. And he said, Raph, there'll be enough preachers left after the rapture to have revival on every corner. Now, I don't know if it's that bad, but are you going to be on one of them corners? Amen. You see, you don't really grasp it every time. Nobody does. But we ought to live in such a way that people will have confidence in us, and we ought to do right so that people won't stumble over us. You see, I've got on a suit, but now if I had a hole in the suit that was visible, and I got out there where you could see me, and you could see that hole in this suit. And I hope there's not any in it, but you see what I mean. People would see that hole more than they would that suit. And you know that's so. And if you have a shirt on, it's got a hole in it, or trousers, or anything, or if women have got a dress on, especially the women will notice that. And that would bother them because of that hole in there. That's the way with sin in the lives of Christians. They don't see that dress, that suit, they see that hole. And that just worries them, I'm telling you. I hope I'm not foolish when I do it, but If a man's pocket is, you know, when he pulls his handkerchief out of his pocket, this bothers me. Not that I'm critical, I'm just afraid that other people will see it. And I just want to go up there and stick it back in there for him. Or if he's got his handkerchief sticking about three-fourths away or halfway out of his pocket, I want to go up there and stuff it in there.
Yeah, come on.
Amen, because you just notice stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Christians should not be a stumbling block to other people. We are the only Bible this careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message, left in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? Oh my God, help us to do right. And not only are we going to have to give account for that, we're going to cause somebody else to go to hell if we do wrong. And then we're going to have to give account for that in the day of judgment. A lot of people, you know, it seems to me that they think that they can almost get by with anything. We live in a licentious time. We live in a time of extreme compromise and ideas. And please don't think that I am sarcastic or that I'm off the people of God. I don't intend to be so. I don't want to be so. And there's a lot of people that I trust. But if we don't mention things once in a while, it won't be long till people will begin to do that. So we have to come down on that every once in a while.
All right.
And you don't want to forget, you're not going to get by with anything. You may think that you are, but you're not going to get by with anything. We have in the New Testament a story of a couple that were church-going people. And I know sometimes people don't want you to preach at the church, but it just so happens they're the ones that's here. And it just so happens that they are the ones that need it. And we have to be warned against sin. And this man and his wife, his name was Ananias. And he had a wife whose name was Sapphira. And they decided, you know, it's amazing what a man and a woman can get each other into sometimes. It really is. A man that's not, you might say, don't have the guts of a chigger and won't live for God and do right and hypocrite around. I used to know a fellow, they used to come to the church for a while up home. Matter of fact, they've been in several churches. They're really church-going people. They just go all over the country. You don't know where they're at. You might see them 1 month, and they'll be somewhere. Next month, they'll be somewhere else. They're just, you know, kind of a hybrid holiness gypsy, if you understand what I mean. Do you grasp my terminology about that? Amen. Come on now. Come on. And this fella, he's a little, not even as big as I am, and I'm not big by any means. I'm trying to gain weight. Pray for me that I can do it, will you? I'm really trying hard. Some people are trying to lose. I'm trying to gain. I mean it. I need to gain some weight. Praise God. But this guy was a lot shorter than I am, and his wife was a pretty good size. And I'm telling you, it was amazing. And just go here and there, never live, never really get in there and live holiness. And you could just look at him. I have some wild ideas sometimes. I just can't help it. I'm made like that. I get some wild ideas and far out stuff. And he makes me think of a sick fishing worm. That's what that guy, when I look at him, I think of a sick fishing worm. And that, I can't help it. I mean, I can't help it. Please understand me now. And I won't get no bad opinion of you. If you just stand up, amen, and be somebody, I won't think you're a sick fishing worm, but I do him. Really, I do him. Because that's what he looks like and that's what he reminds you of. But it's a sight what a man and woman get each other into, because neither one of them not got backbone to say, now look, I realize the man's the head of the house. That is, he should be. He really should. And I understand the woman has some powerful suggestions, but the thing about it is, a man ought to be the head of the house. And he never should have brought such a thing up. And what they were doing I guess God moved on them, and they were going to have a persecution right away. And the Holy Ghost moved on these people to give what they had to the apostles. And they probably saw, since we have jealousy in the church too, they probably saw when these people at the end of chapter 4 of the book of Acts, and Joseph, who by the apostle surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But right here, the very next chapter, verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold it. And it says in the second verse, and this is written later on, kept back part of the price. Now, whichever one of them brought that up, if the other one had been God-fearing people, and if Ananias brought that up, Sapphira should have gasped and said, no, 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 honey, we can't do that. That's a sin. I've seen couples drag each other down. I've seen couples when one of them had the victory, the other one didn't. When the man had the victory, the woman was down. Or when the man got down, the woman was up. But sooner or later, you're both going to get down at the same time if you're like that. And it's going to really mess you up. No telling how many people that went out of this church pouting over the years. No telling how many people that went out of the home church, wherever you go, pouting about something. Somebody preached something, didn't like, and they pouted and went home. But Ananias saw how these people accepted Barnabas because he had land and sold it. He made a great man of God. He really did. All people that do right make great people of God. Every one of them. Whether they're preachers or just common laity, they make great people of God. Oh, I loved it last night. I loved it. I'll tell you I love it. Brother Manuel. I don't know if he's here today or not. Is Manuel here? Manuel, Manuel, however you say it. The Mexican fellow. Is he here, Brother Ralph? Last night, you know, he shouts. And if you people that don't know him, he got in a cave-in in the mine one time and looked like he was not going to get out and wrote on a piece of sack with a piece of clay or coal or something, some kind of salt that you could write with, and told his wife and family how much he loved them. He didn't think he was going to get out of there. And I mean, when Manuel shouts, he's got a right to shout. And Brother Ralph Horton told me years ago about a fellow used to go here named Kenneth Hogson. Is that his name? Hogson? That got shot, you know, they shot them all down. Yeah. They shot every one of them, and I think him and one black fella didn't die. Right. They just machine gunned them down. Right. And Kenneth Hogson, or Hogson, however you say it, he got to come home. They found him, and he got to come home. I'm telling you, when Manuel shouts, he got a right to shout. He was as good as dead. And you may not know it, but you were too. No telling how many times you've been within inches of being dead. I mean, right down the highway, you brush right by death every time a car comes. And I'm telling you, it's a dangerous world. And we ought to thank God for life and give our very body and our soul and our mind and everything about us and our money. Yeah. Amen. Some people, I used to have one fella came to church and he's going to get baptized. He got saved. He said, I want you to baptize my billfold and all. He just left it in his pocket. Said, I want it all baptized. And he was a giver too. Don't you never doubt it. I mean, he gave thousands of dollars. Some people need everything about them. My God, to be baptized and go under and come up in the likeness of the Lord. Amen. Dead. My God, and buried and resurrected for the glory of the Lord. I tell you what the crying need today of the church is. Some people say, Will Rogers one time, they asked him, what in the world is the matter? What's wrong with the world? He said, I don't know unless it's people. And that's really what's the matter. It's people. And I love them. One preacher said, I love pastors of church. It's people I can't stand. I'm not like that. I love people. Amen. I tell you what, the crying need of the churches today more than any one thing. Anybody going to guess what it is? It's people that will live right. That's what the kill us, is the people that won't live right. Come on, look at me now, and I'm going to look at you. I said that's what we need, is people that will live right. We've got too many people that won't live right. Don't worry about the Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and the Episcopalians. Here a while back, I heard some fellow on tape, some message. I don't remember who it was, it's irrelevant. The thing about it is, he said, I was surprised to find out that fellow was a Christian. He said, I thought he was an Episcopalian. Well, there's not any use in you worrying yourself crazy about people. I'm not preaching to people outside this building this morning. I'm trying to convey to you the terrible thing and reality that you are going to the judgment too. There used to be a fellow that came among us some. He's dead now. I think he was a good man. I really think he was. And I didn't know him that good. But I had never heard anything bad about him. He was a German. I think he was a German. He was raised in Johannesburg, South Africa. And he spoke real aristocratic English. His name was Ivan Mueller. And he fasted and prayed, don't tell how much. I didn't agree with him, positively agree with him on everything. One thing I didn't agree with him on, the main thing, is they felt like every time you go to church, you ought to get up and confess your sins. Well, I don't. I'm not talking about hiding them. I just don't believe you ought to confess your sins every time you go to church. You ought to get them out of the way and quit doing it. Amen. You ought to quit doing it. I seen a pretty girl. My wife was with me, and she's a beautiful girl. Up in Princeton, Kentucky. I was on the way up to Brother Philip Sanders, and I asked the direction. She's smoking, and she said, as soon as I get off this phone, I'll tell you. And she came out and went to tell me the way. She had a cigarette in her hand, and she was talking, and I just looked at her, just come on me, and I said, you know something? And she said, what? I said, you're too pretty to smoke. I wasn't flirting with her. She didn't mean anything to me no more than a rag doll. That's all took up. She said, well, I'm trying. I said, well, quit it. Don't you know it'll kill you? Quit it. And that's what sin will do to you. Quit it. You don't have to confess it, but Miller went home to preach for some people, went home with them. And at the table of the preacher and his wife, the Holy Ghost come on him, and he said, stolen goods. In the parsonage. The private home of the pastor and his wife. And they said, well, Brother Mueller, what in the world do you mean? He said, the Holy Ghost said, stolen goods. And they said, now, Brother Mueller, there's not anything stolen here. He said, the Holy Ghost said there was. They said, now, Brother Mueller, he said, the Holy Ghost said, that stolen goods, and it hit them so hard they said, we stole the silverware on this table. You may think you're going to get away, but you ain't going to. I said, God help me now. I know this is a touchy subject, but I don't care if I can just preach it. You ain't going to have no effect on me if you wasn't alive, if I can just get anointed to preach this. And I'm already anointed some. Amen. You may think you're going to get away, but you ain't going to get by. You're going to have to give account too. You don't need to think. You know, some people, matter of fact, almost every time, Not every single time, but almost every time, I see a man in the pulpit that rides one subject to death. I know there's something wrong with that guy. I know it. Let me tell you something, brethren. Now, let me tell you something. You might say, are you a know-it-all? No, I'm not a know-it-all, but if I know this, I'm ahead of you if you don't know it. Any time a man preaches on adultery, all the time, that guy's got a loose cog somewhere.
Yes, sir.
And any time a man goes into detail and describing women's bodies and talking about how women all do this and all do that, you can see the wrinkles on you. Let me tell you something. Any time, you ain't got no business inspecting people. Get your brain in some other gear. You fool. And almost every time when somebody rides the subject, I don't think people ought to have a television. I hate them. I hate them. I don't have one. I never have had one. I got saved before they come out. I'm not telling you every single soul on earth going to hell has got a television, but you're risking it. Now, I'm telling you, you're risking it. My God. You can't feed your mind a bunch of slop all the time. No, you can't. You can't do that. But any time that a fella, if that's all he's got, that's all the message he's got, is television and adultery and things like that, there's something wrong with him somewhere. We need to preach the whole Bible, all of it, and feed people. My God. Our old pastor told about a fella one time, he's a young man. He said, I'm telling you one thing, when I get married, there's one thing whoever I marry is going to have to know how to make chocolate cake. And he finally found him one that could make it. And she was crazy enough to marry him. Anyway, they got married. Buddy, I mean, she made him a chocolate cake. And he ate it. And the next day, she made him another. And when he got that made up, she made him another. And every time he'd eat one of them up, just a little bit of time go by, and she'd bake him another. You said you like chocolate cake. Come on, I'm going to give you the hives. Amen. He ate that. 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 And one day he said, enough. Enough. Enough chocolate cake. I've had all the chocolate cake I want. And I've just about got a belly full of a bunch of nonsense from people. I want somebody. Amen. To preach me something that'll feed my soul. Oh, God, help me now. God, help me now. I may have one of my spells today. I hope so. I've been needing to have one for quite a while. Anyway, some guy preaching again tore his shoes on women and reading Playboy magazine on the side. I told you had a loose screw. Amen. I said, I told you had a loose screw. And every nut that gets up and does crazy stuff all the time, there's something wrong with you. Amen. Some people say, I don't believe in using no notes, nothing. I don't believe in doing a thing. I don't believe in reading no books. You don't have to tell us. We can tell it. My God, so ignorant, you look like you went to a school where they didn't teach nothing but that, and you come out there with a summa cum laude degree because you're so stupid. Amen. You want everybody to be just like you. We ain't going to do it. Oh, my God. Come on, brethren, pray for Cox today. I'm into it. Let me tell you something. We're going to the judgment. We're not going to be judged for tourist shoes and neckties and belt buckles. We're going to the judgment and be judged, my God, whether or not we live true to God. I had a lady, she's back there. I'm not going to get her today. I don't hardly ever do this. I don't hardly ever ask a woman to do anything like that. But I got kind of mad over Verona, justifiably, decently mad. You ever get like that? And I mentioned that about Tully's shoes, and she had on some shoes with slits in them, and I happened to see out there, and I said, would you come up here, please? And I see her there. Bless your heart, honey. Don't worry. I'm good today. Amen. She's real cooperative, and she came up there, and I had her come up and stand there, and turn, and I said, turn around. She put her, and I said, you see that? I said, if that turns you on, you ought to be put in a padded cell. Just a narrow-minded, blessed God, you can see through a keyhole with both eyes at the same time. If you ain't got no more sense than that. What in the world has that got to do with it? Hey, my God, tell me, what's that got to do with it? You goof? You nincompoop? Amen? I'm here to tell you today, we need some people, my God, could get down to common, sensible. Old Billy Sunday said, I'll tell you what the church needs, is a good baptism of horse sense. We're going to the judgment. We're going to have to give account for every deed done in our body. Amen. Whether it be good or bad, we're going to have to give account for it. Stolen goods on the table of a pastor of a church. Oral Roberts could have been one of the greatest men that the world ever used for God. And got silly and money crazy and no telling what all. Lord God have mercy, mess around. And I was over there one day doing chapel for the employees, had some people work there. They sent out a 3 million mailing list. Man, if you get a dollar a piece from them, that ain't bad. I mean, $1 million is quite a bit of money. It really would be to me. I don't have to worry about it. But that's quite a bit of money. And would you believe, you've heard me, I know some of you have heard me say this, and this is not what somebody told me. I was there. Thanksgiving comes around the 25th, right? Of November. And I was over about the 4th or 5th of November. And they were running off, and machines were pushing them in there. Fast, I mean. And I said to Teresa, some of them falling for it. And Teresa worked out of them. And I said to Teresa, I said, can I have one of them? She said, you can have two or three if you want them. But they don't date them. But I was there. And on the 4th or 5th of November, it was telling what God showed Oral Roberts in the prayer tower on Thanksgiving Day. Now, buddy, you've got to be spiritual to get that done. Now, let me ask you something. I know he's a big shot. I know I don't amount to nothing. I know that. I ain't fooled about that. I know he got money. I know he can sue me. He ain't going to get nowhere with in this case. If he ever sues me for saying this, I'll either, amen, make him lie again or tell the truth for once. Anybody ain't got more wisdom to say God showed him a 900-foot Jesus and going to take him out of this world if people didn't give him so many $1 million, I don't believe a word of it. I don't believe a word of it. God don't go around killing people because somebody won't give him money. We'd all be dead. Amen. I said, we'd all be dead. Man, I wouldn't even got this meeting this year if that's the case. You wouldn't be here either. God killed everybody because people wouldn't give money. Let me ask you just a question and you answer it, please. Answer it. Do you think that's right to do that? Is that honest to do that? I'm not talking about what somebody told me. I was there. You know what you really get when you lie? You know what you really gain by lying? I'll tell you what you gain by lying. You gain a reputation that people won't even believe you when you tell the truth.
at you. People will forgive people for nearly anything. Just nearly anything and maybe anything. And God will too if they'll tell the truth about it. And stop it and say, I did it. And you're not going to get away with it if you don't. You may shake hands with me or somebody else and hug them and be good to them and don't tell them what all, but you ain't going to get away if you're guilty. People can smile and connive and do don't tell them how many things and plan and plot and go around and just act like they're just the best people in the world and just as holy as anybody. Let me tell you something. I like decent dresses on women. I like decent clothes on men. I'm not telling you you're going to hell, but I don't never wear a short sleeve shirt. I don't never wear it. And you can say, well, you're going to put me in it. No, I'm not telling you that. But let me tell you something. You can have sleeves come to your wrist and wire gloves and be just as hell bound as the worst harlot, my God, down on Red Light District. Out west, they had a little old fad going, and Don Rich was out there, and they had the women, when they get saved, they fix their hair and put a little bitty biscuit down low. And if they got sanctified, they'd move it up about the middle. And if they got the Holy Ghost, they'd put it on up higher. Let me tell you something. It's going to take more than three biscuits to get you into heaven. Do you hear me? I said, do you hear me? I'm trying to improve my British accent. Amen. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Amen. Not bad, Teppy. Come on now. Amen. Praise God. I want to tell you something. You can pull your hair back. My God, so tight that it'll pop your eyeballs out. And it won't do you a bit of good if you're not living right. I believe in clothes on sisters. I love it. Amen. I'm for it. They had a fad going a few years ago, and they wore these granny dresses. And I had a buddy that got preaching again wearing granny dresses. I said, let them alone, man. Let them alone. He said, ain't nothing but a fad. I said, no, that's all right. Amen. If we got a fad like that, let's keep it in as long as we can. Buddy Bob Holden was preaching again him, and he's a buddy of mine. Ben Shaw was preaching for him. Amen, said women, wear them long granny dresses. Hallelujah. I'm all for it. Let me tell you something. But that's not the only thing that there is. If you don't live right, you ain't nothing but a covered up hypocrite. If clothes would save you, the nuns would be saved. If the clothes would save you, the Mennonites would all be saved. And the armies. And they're just as bad busted up as we are. Used to be 28 sects of Mennonites years ago. Somebody told me. And I know you've heard me say this. And that fellow said there's 28 different groups of them. And I thought that's about like we are. Just about like we are. Everybody wants their own little clique somewhere. Not realizing that we're all brethren. I said we're all brethren. If anybody lives right and is decent, my God, treat him like a child of God. And stop this nonsense, man. This is the last day. We are in the last of the last days. It's right on us. I read where in Swiss watchmakers invented a machine and split a human hair in 50 equal parts. And I thought about the Holy Spirit when I read it. I did. Couldn't help it. You don't build an organization or a group on dress alone. And it's all okay. But if that's all you've got, you know, there's people that's mean. That's got on plenty of clothes. They're mean. I said they're mean. Read the rest of it.
One fellow got on me one time about a that guy was spiritual. Man, I'm telling you, Lord have mercy. He was spiritual. Yes, he was. He didn't even believe you ought to have a ballpoint pen in your pocket. Boy, he got started on that. I said, wait a minute, Wayne, wait a minute. I read the Bible too. He's been backslid so long, I cast three or four now. I don't have to face him. I like them. Pens, I like pens, man. Pens, pens, I like pens. I like right. Don't go to seed on some crazy something. Amen. We're going to the judgment. How are you living? How? Pray tell me. How are you living? How about the life that you are living? Oh, God. We're coming to the great judgment day. And people think, boy, I got away with that. I got away with that. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You didn't get away with that. No, sir. 10,000 times, no. There's an author named Jim Bishop. He wrote To the Day Christ Died. And he wrote several books, but one of his best books is My Very Best. And in that, Mike Blue was with us one time, and he found that book, and it's really got a lot of stuff, and it's about people that he met and knew. And so he wrote about them. And here is one story that he wrote that is applicable to what I'm preaching about today. This fellow got to run around with a guy, this buddy. And he took out insurance on this guy and meant to kill him and make it look like it was an accident so he could collect the insurance. He done everything that he could do to try to kill that fella. And you know what? He got him drunk, got him in a snowbank, left him out there, thought he'd freeze to death, and he didn't die. He had so much liquor in him, he didn't kill him. So, I don't know what else he tried. He tried something else. And one day he said, let's drink. And they done a lot of drinking. And he bought so much whiskey that he said, let's just drink it and drink it and drink it. And he figured it would kill that guy. And you know what? It didn't. It killed him. And this guy went to his casket at the funeral and got over him and cried and cried and cried and cried. And he said, he was my very best friend. He thought he got by, but he didn't get by. Someday, that will come out. I said someday, now he didn't know that. He never did know. But what that fellow was his very best friend. Other people did, knew he was his enemy. But he didn't know it. And there's things all along in life that there are people going to the house of God today. I'm not talking about when you were a sinner. I believe that the Lord will forgive you of your sins. There may be some things you may have to fix up and should fix up. Let me tell you something. I used to pastor a fellow. And he got the coughing on his wife. And he told me. And he went to the hospital with a nervous breakdown, and I went to see him. And I liked him. And I didn't know he'd got that bad, and I wasn't pastoring him then, but I had pastored him before. And before he got saved, he was really a man that committed adultery a lot. And you know what? I'll tell you one thing that people are failing to do. Now this is plain, but it's not nasty. I'm not going to get gross here. A lot of people, when they get saved, I don't know why they do it. I don't know why they let it happen. I don't believe it takes no 5 years of seeking God to get sanctified. I don't believe it. I don't care what you think about it. I don't believe it. And a lot of people are using that
that excuse for not living closer to God. They'll say, I'm saved, but I'm not sanctified. Now, I ain't got no time to argue with you on second and third and fourth and nothing like that. I ain't got no time to argue with you. You ain't got it no way if you start anything with me. Don't you jump me after church. I know you don't have a bit of it. I'll just look at you and smile like a possum grinning and look you right in the face and say, you ain't got it. I know you ain't got it. Don't you go getting on me about what I'm preaching today. I'll be ready for you if you do. Yes, I will. A lot of people are getting saved. At least they think they're getting saved. And some of them do. But they don't leave everything on that altar. There's a guy shacking up with a woman in California. And he came to the altar and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And he laid his cigarettes on the altar. He laid everything he had in his pockets on the altar. But he was bending over this way. And he got rid of everything and he raised up and looked back there and seen her. That done it. That done it. And a lot of people, they don't. And I'll tell you something else people are doing. I'm not a psychologist. I didn't study this out. But this is the day and age when a lot of people, a lot of boys and girls, there's not enough decent boys to go around. That's pitiful. I hate it, but it's just that way. And boys go with so many different girls that they don't know who they love. And they finally end up and marry Susie. And then after they get married and get down to the facts of life and find out you've got to get back on the ground. You know you're crazy when you're in love. I know what I'm talking about. You're not insane, but you're kind of, you know. Well, don't go into detail on it, please. Anyway. And you got as far as stay out of the way the rest of your life. And you come down to the ground, and then they see they married Susie, but the good thing about they used to go and marry.
Yeah.
And they've held so many hands and had so many vibrations and been taught away so many times, they don't know who in the world they love. They married Susie, but they kind of wish they'd married Mary. And they look at Mary. Right up home, as a girl got married to a fella, she loved this other guy, I thought she did, and they broke up. And while they broke up, she married another boy. And you know what she did? She couldn't get her mind off of Steve because she'd married this other boy. But she always thought about Steve. And you know what? That haunted her night and day. She said, I can't get in the room with him. Don't you know it's a sin? Why in the world, my God, why can't our people understand that it don't make no difference what it is? If it's a sin, leave it alone. I said, leave it alone. And that haunted her night and day. And you know what? She finally divorced her husband, and he divorced his wife, and they got married. Were they happy? My God, no. 10,000 times no. There ain't no fool could be happy. And you know what? They fought and they fussed and lived like the devil. And finally divorced, and now she's married to somebody. Let me tell you something. Marriage is sacred. I said marriage is sacred. I said marriage is sacred. It's a commandment of God. And you need to think, what in the world am I doing? And there's people just divorce and remarry, and divorce and remarry, but you can't get away. And let me tell you something. You get out here and get to mess around, and this fella told me, he's in a hospital nurse breakdown, he said, well, I can't hardly go to town. Because when I go to town, I see some woman I used to fool with, and it bothers me. Married to a good woman, to a homeless woman, still is. He ain't married to her now, he's married to somebody else. And he said, I can't even go to town without that. And that bothers me. You know what I'd have done? You want me to tell you how to break that? And I don't have to break it. I never did trifle on my wife. I never defiled no pure girl in all my life. Thank God I did. I'm not condemning you if you did. If you're forgiven, good, good. Amen. Don't misunderstand me. But you know what you know how to break that? If you did that, this is plain now. Come here, please. Come up front with me just for a little bit. I want to tell you something. If you're having that trouble, and you was a fornicator before you got saved, and you go to town and you see some woman you committed adultery with, you want me to tell you how to break the habit of lusting after her anymore? Go to her and tell her, I got saved, and I want you to forgive me for what I've done with you. And if you do that, you'll not have no more trouble with it. Is that too gross? It don't seem to be, with all this stuff going on. I wouldn't worry about something like that, with all this trash in the newsstand and all this whoring around with a bunch of preachers and all this trifling from the left. I mean a good confession. And you're going to confess. There used to be a judge. And you know what? Whenever he would bring a bunch of suspects into his court, they'd say, we've got so many people here that we suspect did this. You suspect some of them did? Yes. And he'd have 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10. You know what he'd do? No women in there. He'd make every man in there that was under suspicion take his shirt and unbutton it and bare his chest. And he'd walk up to them and he'd say, they've got you, stand up, Billy, please. You too, Billy, please, brother. You too, Randy, please. They've got you under suspicion that you did this. Did you? And he'd feel his heart. And if it was a beating faster than this one over here, he'd ask him, did you? No, sir. And he'd say, did you? And he'd push his hand right up again there. Say, now stand still. And whoever's heart was beating the fastest, he said, you're the dude done that. My son-in-law in California, in Silicon Valley, has got his own factory. And he brought some people in there that came from Romania, I think, or Czechoslovakia, one of those foreign countries. And they threw them out, put them out of the country for practicing the occult. Now, what he really did, this man invented a machine that registers human impulse. And they got some stuff now. I'm telling you, it's out in the world what they've got. Oh, yeah. You ever hear this, Brother John? Yeah. And you know what? They can put you in a room and turn that thing on. And it's got graph lines in it. And if you have got somebody else in there with you, and you don't like them, the lines won't come together. And if you do like them and there's nothing between you, they'll just line right up and bump right into one and make one straight line. But if they get two people in there that hate one another, they've got something against each other, they'll zigzag, they will not meet. Now I just wonder what would happen if he brought that thing to church. Do you hear? I wouldn't be surprised if it was malfunctioned. It turned thumb up. Well, let me tell you something. Some of these days you're going to come before one. Do you hear me? I said, you're going to come before one. These people now, somebody here a while back had done some awful sins. I don't know how many different times, and he called me and got on me. He didn't like me because I called him. He didn't like me. Naturally, you don't like people that catch you. Yeah, right. A while back, a policeman pulled a young man over for going real fast on the highway, 85 or 90 or 95, whatever. And whenever he seen him in the mirror, he turned to turned that bubble gum machine on and pulled him over. Says whenever he got him stopped, he said, that dirty rat, and that fellow come up there and he had the window down. He said, I want to see your driver's license. He said, Yes, sir. Yeah, you calm down. Yeah. Say whatever you want, but you can eat the preacher out and tell him off. But one of these days you're going to stand before God and you ain't going to say one word back.
Right.
Not one word back. Down there at Shallow Springs, not right east of us, about 100 miles, there's a drunk Indian in a cafe down there and got making noise, and they called the highway patrol, and that Smokey come in there. And he said, come and go out in the car. No, I'm not going to car you. And he said, oh, come on. No, come on. My brother don't come back. Come on, go to the car. No, he said, I'm not a going. And he asked him people what's up. And he said, I'm not a going. Okay, he said, okay. He went out there and got his shotgun. Brought in a deck of shell and stuck it right under his chin. He said, take one deep breath. He said, I go with you. And that's what God's going to do to you. You say, I didn't do it. God's going to look at you and feed your heart and say, you guilty dude. You're the very one done that. And you're going to say you did. I knew an old boy named Nicholas Krasnitsky, and he had a friend who fasted and prayed for days. And one day he made a Jehovah's Witness. And he said, your doctrine is of the devil. I said, your doctrine is of the devil, and you're going to admit it too. I command you in the name of Jesus to admit that your doctrine is of the devil. And the little boy jerked and shook and said, our doctrine is of the devil. I don't tell you, man, time God got through with Ananias and Sapphira, yes, sir, they went to church. Sure, they testified. No telling how many times they called on. John Wesley had a preacher in his band of preachers. My God, and one of them had been preaching the best evangelist they had, and he found out after 25 years that he's one of the biggest liars in the country. You may get by with me. I'll try to be kind to people. You may whitewash me and lie to me, but I'll tell you one thing. Somebody, my God, is going to read your meter one of these days, and it ain't going to be good. You know, Lester Moore has a way of describing things. There's one crooked preacher in our country, came up in our country, and Brother Lester Moore said, you know what? I turned that dial on that radio, his radio, talking about him. He said, I run that dial just as far to the left as I could get it, and I run it all the way back and all the way back, and I couldn't pick up that dial on no station on it. Amen. And I'll tell you something, buddy. God is going to read your station one of these days, and if you ain't living right, you just well quit putting on and acting like you love the people of God. You are a hypocrite. You are a liar. Amen. You need to get saved. We've got people right in the house of God that's not saved. And they need to get saved. They're going to go to hell. They're coming to the judgment. Stand, please. Oh, God. Please, Lord, please help us today. You know, it's so... And please don't think that I'm self-righteous. I'm not out of step by 100 miles. I could preach for 3 hours, I guess. Long time anyway. I'm not going to. Don't get nervous. I'm trying to act reasonable here. I even got a note here that told me not to preach too long. I just seen it. And I've got to slow down here a little bit, but I want to tell you, people, there's no sense in anybody going to hell. It's easy to live for the Lord. Somebody say it's hard. It's not even such thing. It's hard. You know, a hypocrite can't never be nothing. He has to put on twice to be anything. Has to put on twice as much to be nothing. Just live it. It's easy. I said, just live it. It's easy. I don't mean you never have a fight. You have to resist, of course. But it wouldn't even be a trial if you didn't have to put up a little effort. But it's worth it. Bow your head, please. Nobody looking around? I promise you. I will not come back to you. Please, nobody looking around. I will not come back to you. But anybody in here,
I'll never tell who you are, probably don't even know. Would you raise your hand and by that signify, Brother Cox, I need help. Anybody? Nobody looking around now. Thank you. Anybody else? Come on now. I don't know you. I'm not going to come back and buy you. But hadn't you rather I'd bother you and I won't? Than for God to bother you? Oh. Oh, how careful then. Ought I to live with such religious fear, and such a strict account must give of my behavior here. I'm so thankful that God helped me. Don't open your eyes, please. I'm so thankful that God's helped me in a time of sadness that I had friends. I'm so happy. I'm so glad that they prayed for me, and I really appreciate it. I'm glad I stayed with the homeless people. I love the homeless people. God bless John. I'm so glad John got saved. Man, what a miracle. I told Sister Doreen, I said, I want Brother Ralph to tell you about that. Don't open your eyes, please. Anybody else? You put your hand up. Okay. You can raise your head now. God bless you. God bless you. Please. Don't leave us. Don't leave us. There's a man up home, his wife used to leave him. And he'd beg her, please, honey, don't leave. And she would. Beautiful Indian woman. And she would. She's wild. But I think she finally got saved. Finally got saved. Don't leave us. Please don't leave us. We need you. We need you bad. Brother Ralph, come on.